88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Turn with me to Luke, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 6. We're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 27 through verse number 31. Amen. When you have Luke, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 6, and you're looking at verse 27, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Already. Do good to them which hate you. Already again. Bless them that curse you. Oh Lord. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smited thee on one cheek, offer also the other. Some of y'all say, I don't know about that. And on him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that ask of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And we'll stop right there because it gets deeper. Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withered, the flower fade, that way, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. This is the word of God. Amen. And I want to use for a thought because I tried to get away from this. I'm just going to tell you, I tried to get away from love. I had went found something else to preach. And he said, oh no, still got some loving to do. Amen. So, I want to talk to you, and this is the thought. What Jesus says about love. What Jesus says about love. Amen. Amen. This is a very, very, neglected subject. When you talk about love, we only go to a certain degree. Even in the church, we only go to a certain degree of love, you know. We love them till we can't put up with them no more, then we through. You know, we love people until we, you know, they get on the last nerve, then we can't love them no more. Or we, you know, that old cliche, feed them with a... Now, is that in there? It's not. I hadn't found it. Have you found it? It's not in there, but we use that and we live by it as rule of thumb, right? But that's not in there. You know, we talk about feeding them with a long-handled spoon and then, well, I got to love you from a distance. Is that possible? Love is up close and personal. Amen. What if Jesus loved us from a distance? Oh, my Lord. See where it's going? You got happy early, so I'm glad. I say, tell your neighbor, I'm glad I got happy earlier. Oh, wow. Don't know what's going to happen here. The Gospel according to St. Luke, the Gospel according to St. Luke was written by Luke, him being a physician, a doctor. And he not only was a doctor, but he was a companion of Paul the Apostle. He traveled with him. Actually, Luke wrote this Gospel, this first treatise to Theophilus, and then he wrote the second treatise to Theophilus, which is what we call the book of Acts. And Luke, he wrote this, and I always like to bring out this point that he wrote this to Theophilus, and the word Theo means God, and the other part of that name, which is Philio, which means love, the lover of God. Amen. He wrote that to those who love God. Amen. So Luke is writing to us because you love God, and he's letting us know. He's letting us know the events that took place in the life of Jesus Christ. Luke, as I said again, being a physician, he knew how to prescribe things, and he knew how to make certain incisions and things like that. So he didn't do things that were unnecessary. He did things that were, that he put things in his writings that were very necessary for the spiritual health of every individual that might read his writings. Amen. And so he prescribed this gospel, according to Luke, so that we would have something to help us when we get an ailment in our spirit. Amen. When we get an ailment in our soul. And so this should help us to be able to deal with and cope with whatever situation that may arise in our life. This Luke chapter number 6, you'll find out that Jesus was being challenged by the Pharisees. The first he was challenged by them because his disciples walked through the cornfield and they shook corn and took something to eat because they were hungry. And the Pharisees made a big deal out of it. They made a big deal out of it because you could eat of the field, you were supposed to take a certain portion of it and give to the priest, and he would hollow the field, then you can harvest it. And they were saying, they're going before the priest and they're eating ahead of them, and they're doing it on the Sabbath day. And they made a big issue out of all kinds of religious stuff. When Jesus went to one man who had a withered hand, Jesus said, asked the question. He said, what is it right to do good on the Sabbath or not? And they didn't want him to heal. They thought to kill him, but he healed the man on the Sabbath day. And Jesus then went into a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, he prayed all night long because he had a great task ahead of him. Amen. That goes to show us that we really need to pray in order for us to be able to handle the task that God might have ahead of us. If you want to make sure that you're successful, you need to pray. We prepare ourselves in every other way. We make sure we got enough money. We make sure we got our phones. We make sure that we got a backup plan. But do you have the plan to pray? In order for us to be successful, we must pray. Jesus came down off the mountain and he met his disciples in the valley and he healed those that were sick and those that were tormented of the devil. And look at this. Then he began to talk to them about the Beatitudes, kind of Luke's version of the Beatitudes. If you would read, you'd see that he talked to them and he said, he says, blessed are ye that hunger. He said, for now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are those who weep now, for you shall laugh. He said all those kinds of things. But then he gets into something that you may not like to hear, because he says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. This is verse 22. And he said, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now look at that. Jesus starts to tell them, he said, if you're going to follow me and if you're going to walk, he said, don't worry, you're still blessed even if these things begin to happen to you. Even if people don't want to deal with you anymore. Anybody had that happen to them? I have. People say, well, you know, they don't want to fool with you. They separate you from their company. Then they talk about you and give you a bad name because you're trying to serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, but look, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Behold, for your reward is great in heaven. You may not get it right now, but you need to keep your hopes on the things that you may receive in heaven. Amen. That's why they used to sing that song, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. He said, build your what? Hopes on things eternal. Amen. And he says, for in like manner did they do their fathers do the prophets. Amen. And so we need to know that we're going to be treated just like the prophets been treated. Amen. He says, woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to those that are full, for you shall hunger. And woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. He was just letting them know that there's going to be something happening in your life. He said, but you need to hold on. Now, when he gets down to verse number 27, he says, but I say unto you, which hear. Now, he begins to tell them the first thing, he catches their attention. He catches their attention because he's starting to tell them what they're going to have to deal with. Then he tells them, he says, but I say unto you which hear. And so when he says that, he was about to teach them something that they hadn't heard before. He was about to share them with them something that they hadn't been learning from the religious people, the priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He was about to tell them something that the Pharisees hadn't been teaching, the scribes hadn't been writing. Come on and say amen. And so he began to talk to them, and he said, I'm going to teach you something. He said, but I say unto you, which hear. There are people that have to hear God. There's some folks that won't hear God. I remember the Bible says that in 1 Samuel, talks about how Saul, he didn't want to hear what God had to say. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And so the Bible says obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. We better hear the word of the Lord. I remember teaching about love one time, and this deacon told me, he said, preacher, I hear you say all of that, but in all my days, I've realized it's hard for a person to live like that. And ain't no way a person can love the way you talking about love. I said, well, maybe a person can't, but the Holy Ghost can help that person do it. I wish I had somebody. And so we got to learn to try, even if we feel like we can't. We need to learn to try to love the way God wants us to love. Come on and say hallelujah. And so he began to teach them, because they had always heard an eye for an eye. They had heard a tooth for a tooth. They heard, if you kill my oxen, then I kill your dog. Come on and say amen. They heard revenge. You take revenge. You do something back to somebody who done something to you. And guess what? We feel that way right now. It's a law that's written in our flesh that if somebody does something to me, I got to get you back. Preach. We are just like that. Anytime somebody says something about us, we got to say something about them. Come on. If somebody raised their voice at us, we're going to raise our voice back at them. We're going to go tit for tat. We're going to go eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We're going to go back and forth. But Jesus is saying, now I'm telling you something that's not going to be an eye for an eye. I'm telling you something that's not going to be tit for tat. Come on and say amen. He says, Jesus says that in verse 27, he said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Now, we got to understand something. Jesus is telling them, and he said, look, I'm speaking out of the authority of who I am. He said, but I say, and what we got to understand is Jesus is the word of God. And so who else can amend a law except the lawmaker? Yeah. So even if they did have the law, Jesus was saying, look, you know, you have the law that was given to Moses, but guess who gave Moses the law? And so I have the right to change all of that. Amen. And he wasn't changing it, but he was doing was clearing it up. He was clearing it up. If you just love the way you're supposed to, then you won't have to worry about breaking any of the laws. Amen. All right. So when we get down to part B of verse 27, we understand that he got their attention. And sometimes God will get our attention with some things. He'll give us some stuff that we're going to go through. We're going to encounter. And guess what? He's getting our attention. A few weeks ago, I was talking about this. And that's how I knew God was just going to be testing me on this. Because if I'm going to preach it, I got to live it. Amen. If I'm going to say it, then God's going to test to see if you're willing to try to go through with it. If you're going to say amen to it, now I'm not telling you not to say amen, because some of y'all be saying, I ain't saying amen because I don't want to go through. If you're going to say amen, you're saying it is so. And if you're saying amen, you're agreeing to it, then God will test you with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Got all y'all. Now all of y'all going to have to do this now. He says in verse 27, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now, love, he says, now that I got your attention, he said, love is an action. He speak about taking action. He says, love your what? Enemies. He didn't say love the people that love you back. If you read deep into the text, you'll find he said, what good have you done if you only love the folks that love you? So what good have you done? Now, we can do that easy. We find people that we talk to people that we know. We don't try to encounter people that we don't know. We love people that love us back. We know people that's going to do good to us. We're going to do good to them because they're going to appreciate it. But what about doing something for somebody who don't seem to be appreciative? Oh, my Lord. He says, take action. Love is an action. It's not just a word. When we love, we show that love. And so that, it takes away the saying that we have to love from a distance, because you can be in California and me and you have fell out in Natchitoches. I can't love you like I'm supposed to. Come on and say, man, I have to encounter you. I have to at least call you. I can't just say, well, I ain't got nothing against them. You lying. You do. That's why you won't call them. That's why you won't say, look, if I wronged you, forgive me. Well, if I say that, they're going to think I was wrong. So what? Get it right. Because what's more important, me having a right relationship with God. He says love is an action. He said love your enemies. Now, enemies are people who intentionally try to do something to you. Amen. Your enemy is somebody that is an adversary, somebody who's been hateful towards you. Somebody who's actively hostile towards you, actively hostile. Now, I'm not talking about they did something 20 years ago, you kept them as your enemy. But I'm talking about every time you turn around, they're actively trying to catch you in something, put you in something, do something to you, put your name down, break you down, beat you down. Come on and say amen. Somebody who's a foe. Somebody who's intentionally trying to cause you some discomfort and some pain and some hurt. Yeah. Ain't just anybody. I know you got somebody in your mind right now while I'm talking. And God said, you got to love them. So you got to love them. Hallelujah. Love your enemies. The people who intentionally lie on you. The people who intentionally try to steal from you. Love. The person who tried to take your joy from you. Your happiness. We got to love them. Boy, that hurts. Because we want to see something happen. I love them after they go through. I pray for them after you make them sick, God. I help them after you break them, God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's what we do. This might be a long sermon. Y'all get... That's what we do. We'll pray for them. We'll love them afterwards. Because they got to hurt just like I did. If you make me hurt, I want to see you hurt. If you make me pain, I want to see your pain. And we don't, you know what, we pray, God, vengeance is yours. You got to do, and you know what? It is his, but we want to see it. Lord, vengeance is yours, but let me see it before I leave him. Amen. But the Bible says, love your what? Enemies. The young people need to learn. I remember when I was growing up, we were growing up, and we would fight, but then we'd play at the end of the day. I've never seen such serious young people. And it's mainly because us adults have put that in them. They get so serious, they fall out. I don't speak to them no more. I'm like, you only 8 years old. What you know about a grudge? You can't spell grudge. I've never seen it like this. We would make up by the end of the day. We're playing. We're eating, you know, the candy necklace. We you know, sweating everything. We bite a piece of my necklace. Dirt and all of that. We're planning everything. Biting off the same frozen cup, cool cup, whatever you want to call it. But today, young people get mad, and I'm through with it. At 8 years old, now you 18 and don't even know why. At 8, you was mad with them. I don't like them. I don't fool with them. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Do good to them that hate you. Lord. The ones that detest you. The people who persecute you by extension. They go out of their way to persecute you. They go out of their way to make you miserable. He says do good to them. I had to learn this one day. I had to learn this. It was so hard. But God spoke to me one day. He said, now you go, you in line. I was trying to avoid him, so I went and got in another line. He said, no, you go get in line right behind him. I went and got in a longer line. And you pay for their stuff. I'm like, Lord, they hate my guts. And I don't even know why. But it's fine with me if I don't talk to them ever. If I don't see them on the golden streets of heaven, I don't care. That's how I felt. Can I be honest and transparent? I was like, I don't even care. Let them be on the east side of heaven and give me the west side. I didn't want to fool with them. But he said, go over there and pay. And not only did I pay, but I gave him something to go on. And as the scripture says, it's like heaping hot coals upon their head. Because that person turned around and said, you know what? I was wrong when I engaged in a conversation. I said, hold on. You ain't got to talk to me about that. I've already forgiven you. And it was such a relief for me. I don't know what it felt like for them. And the thing is, when God let me feel that release, I became almost addicted to that kind of relief. Because I wanted to constantly get relief so that I could have, you know, that peace inside of me. Amen. He said, love your enemies, do good to them that which hate you. There are some people that are going to hate you regardless. There are people, they're going to be haters. And you know what? You always hear people talking about they hating on me. Their Facebook status is hate. Everything is about hate. But when we're going to start talking about love. Amen. I love my haters. I wish you'd tweet that. Come on and say amen. We got to learn how to love them that what hate us. Do good to them that hate us. Say a good kind word. Bless them that hate. Look at this. In verse 28, he says, now we're talking about the action of love. Love is an action. Jesus speaks about this. This is what he says about love, that you need to what? He says you need to bless them that what? Curse you. Now, there are some people that wish bad on you. They've even visited somebody that got a root and said they, you know, want to put that on you. But how, you know, you got to bless them anyway. Help me, Holy Ghost. I know y'all believe. It's Louisiana. You guys, you believe in that. He says, bless them that what? What's the root? It's a curse. People who speak ill of you, people who say bad about you, people who curse you, they mention your name and then they start cussing and they can't stand you. Come on and say amen. Those people, he says that you ought to bless them. You ought to bless them, be a blessing to them. And the only way you can be a blessing is to give them something. First thing you need to give them is forgiveness. Hallelujah. So bless them that what? Curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, there are some people that are going to use you. You know, I told somebody this. I said, I don't mind you using me, just don't misuse me. You can use my name if you want to get somewhere, but don't misuse me. But then guess what? There are going to be people who will misuse you. They'll look to be your friend for a moment just to get. There are people who are, by nature, they're opportunists. And whatever opportunity, they'll seize the moment. And they'll try to get by on your, right on your coattail. They'll get close to you so they can get close to somebody else. You got to understand that those people, he said for us to what? Pray for them. And we got to learn how to keep praying for them. Because if we don't pray for them, we're going to tell them something we shouldn't. If we don't pray for them, we're going to do something we shouldn't. If we don't pray for them, we're going to act out in a way that's not seemingly a Christian attitude. Amen? So we need to learn how to pray for them that despitefully uses us. Pray for them. Communicate to God on their behalf. Those who despitefully use us, those who insult us, who slander us, who falsely accuse us, who does these things, and they do it, and they're proud that they're doing it. Because they say, I don't care if you tell them. Yeah. Then there's always somebody that come back and tell you. But what did he say? He didn't say, start talking about, oh yeah, well, they can't talk. I know something about them too. No, he didn't say do that. He said, pray for them. And if you know something about it, tell it to the Lord. Lord, you know they ain't no good, but make them some good. Help me, Holy Ghost. Some action. Love is an action word. He says, do good. Bless them. Pray for them. Look at all these things that we have to do. When you love the way God wants you to love, you forgive them. You bless them. You pray for them. You do good to them. But the natural man can't do this kind of thing. If you walk in the flesh, you ain't going to ever be able to do it. Amen. He said the natural man can never do these things. And look, he's, and the carnal man, the carnal-minded person, they won't do these things because they won't accept this. The natural man can't understand why you forgive. The natural man can't understand why you do good. The natural man can't do these things, so they don't understand why you're doing it. So the natural man that you're talking to and say, girl, if I was you, I'd slap their head off. You need to stop talking to them. The carnal-minded person can't receive it. You know, yeah, I know the Bible said, but I know if that was me, it'd be a different story. You good, though. Carnal man. And the flesh and evil heart won't even consider it. Nope, they already been done it. Oh, come on and say amen. They won't even consider. It's not easy for us to do this, but we have the Holy Ghost of God. He is the Paracletos. John chapter 15 tells us that the Holy Spirit is the helper. And so what I can't do, he helps me to do. Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me do this today. He says, look in verse number 29, and to him that smite thee on one cheek, offer the other. And to him that take away thy cloak, forbid him not to take your coat also. So he begins to tell us not only is love an action, but love is the antidote. Love is the answer to everything. How am I to answer when people do me wrong? I answer them in love. How do I do that? When they smite me on one cheek, I turn the other cheek. And I'm tired of hearing these preachers talking about they're going to come around with a roundhouse. When I turn my cheek, now I got to come around. That's not what God said do. You need to preach what God said preach. Now do what you want to do, but you need to say it the way God said it. Don't be giving people the wrong example. Preach anyway. We got to get to a place that we know that love is the answer. So I turned the other cheek. Why? Because I couldn't do it on my own, but thank God that the Holy Ghost turned it for me. God, if you're being led of the Spirit, you'll be called the Son of God, the child of God. You'll belong to God. And so guess what? The Spirit led me to turn this way. The Spirit leads me to turn back this way. The Spirit leads me to turn the other cheek. And he said, if they take away your cloak, he said, if they take that away, let them have your coat also. In other words, if they take away your outer garment, if they take away your cloak, he said, you go ahead and take off your coat and say, oh, you took that, you might as well take this because it goes with it. I bought them together. Preach anyway. We got to get to a place where love becomes the answer. Love is the answer to all of life's challenges. I don't care what challenge you may have in life, but if you can love your way through it, you will come out as pure gold. Love never fails. Love never gives up. Love is never ever in defeat. Love always brings about victory. And if you know how to love, you would always be a victorious person. As we talk about love, and we just got out of what we call African American History Month, but what do you think got us in the civil rights movement the victory? It was because of the peace. It was because the man that was preaching and that they were following was saying, we got to love them because they are sick, not because they're just plumb evil. He said, we got to love them because our brothers out there are sick. That's why they do what they do. So let's march and let's not retaliate, but let's turn the other cheek. Come on and say amen. And then guess what? They got victory, and we're still walking in a victory all because of love. Love victories are permanent, not temporary. So if you want a temporary fix. If you want a temporary victory, you go out there and fight your way. You go out there and do something, tit for tat, eye for an eye. But if you want a permanent victory, you have love, and you got to love people the way God wants you to love them. What does Jesus say about love? He said, love is the answer. Love is the antidote. He says in verse 30, give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Oh, now we can't do that. He says the antidote and the answer is that if somebody asks you something, he said, give to them. Now, when we ignore that person, you think you're giving them the right? You're giving them what's right? No, we at least ought to answer them. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He says, if they ask of you, he says, you ought to give to them. And then when you give to them, don't go say, hey, man. You know, that's how you stop falling out with people. Because if you're going to give it to them, give them what you know you can give them. Because you know that you're not, now they just told you that I'll pay you back when I get my income tax. Now, anybody that watched Judge Mathis know they ain't going to pay you back. Amen. The income tax come and come and come again. And they still hadn't paid you a dime. but they riding by and they blow at you. What do you think gonna happen? You gonna get mad? They in Walmart, bucket full of stuff. All you owe me is $100. I know you got $600 worth of stuff in your bucket. But what does he say? He say, give it to them. If they ask you for three and all you can give them is 150, give it. Let's say, uh-uh. Now, if you give it back, but no, I ain't looking for, I'm not asking you for it.